Okay, this video is heavy. It's also needful. It's something that, well, let's just run it. This, of course, is one of many places around the earth where people are given their life for Christ. And there's only one answer to this. Only one answer. His name is Jesus. You know, our government and their allies do the only thing they know to do. They send more troops. It's not the answer. You see, they don't understand. The radicals live on blood. And they don't care if it's their own blood that's shed. They just want blood to be shed. And so the shedding of blood in any form just feeds the tyranny and feeds the violence. Jesus is the only answer. There's none other. And this is heavy. I don't think we could stand to see a video clip from all the different nations around the world that people are dying, where they're dying for their faith. But you know, it's nothing new. All those great apostles and disciples that we honor and respect and preach about and get all excited and jump up and down about, Paul and Peter and John and all these fellas, they died the same way. Heavy. Don't ever think that just because you live in the United States of America and believe in a rapture or some sort of thing, that you're immune to this. You're not that much better than these people. Any one of us today could have a turn of circumstances where we have to give our life for Christ. A few years ago in Columbine, Colorado, there were students that were asked, "Are you a Christian?" And when they said yes, they were shot in the head. None of us are too good to suffer for Christ. The Apostle Paul said in one place, "The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed." We must get a vision of heaven, a vision of the glory, even if it's a martyr's glory. The book of Revelation teaches us clearly that martyrs have a very special place and a special reward with God. Wow. So where do we go from here? We go to Matthew chapter 5. Verse 13. Matthew 5:13. I'll be in the New King James today. Jesus. Oh man, he had so much to say. And one of the 10 million things he said, he called us salt. In Matthew 5, did I say 5:13? Look at that. "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men." Look at someone and say, "You are the salt of the earth." Now say it like this: "You're the salt in my life. I need a volunteer. Peter, go get me a crystal clear glass full of water and a salt shaker." I'm so glad he volunteered. Today I want us to compare something with salt. I want us to compare several things with salt. When we talk about salt today, I want you to think of it as God's word. Think of it as the gospel. Thinking of it as being born again. Salt can be compared to many things in our Christian walk, but I think maybe the main focal point would be to compare salt with the presence of God. So let's read it like this. I know it's going to create a question, but the Lord will have an answer. "You are the presence of God in the earth." You are the salt of the earth, okay? You are the presence of God in the earth. Think about this. Thank you, Peter. You are the presence of God in the earth. You are the presence of God in the earth. Does salt make a difference in what you put it on? Does the presence of God make a difference in what it touches? You are the presence of God in the earth. But if the presence of God lose its savor. Whew, did anybody get that? You are the presence of God in the earth today. You are the presence of God in Douglas, Arizona today. But if the presence of God in you loses its savor, if the presence of God in me loses its savor, it's good for nothing. We are good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled under the foot of men. I got a feeling that's truer than we think. There's never been in this world that we live in a more important time to be salt, to be the presence of God. The world needs salt. The world needs the presence of God. We come to church, we get salted. Yes, we become salty Christians. We get on fire. We get excited. We get fired up. We're full of the word, full of encouragement. The Spirit of God is so rich and so sweet, and I get goosebumps, and oh, it's just so nice to get salted in church. But do I lose my savor at the exit? Do I lose the savor of salt, the savor of His presence at the exit, and by the time I get to Walmart, am I living like the world? By the time I get to my car, is the radio playing the world's junk? By the time I'm get to school or out to the college, am I listening to and telling bad, nasty jokes like everybody else? Have I lost my savor at the exit? I don't know about you, but something's got a hold of me. You have no idea how many times this preacher has lost his savor at the exit. Yeah, I'm human too. And I pray, God, forgive me. I don't want that to happen ever again in my life. I want the same zeal, the same enthusiasm, the same presence of God, the same love of God, the same presence of God that I feel in church to go with me everywhere I go, all over this city and all over this state and all over this world. I want to take the presence with me because we are the presence of God in the earth. I just want to go home and cry. Mark chapter 8, verse 36. I really didn't have this in my notes or plan it quite like this. The Lord slipped up on me. Mark 6, did I say that? Mark 8, excuse me. Mark 8, 36. We're going to read the three verses here. For what will it profit a man? What will it profit me? What will it profit you? What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world, loses his own soul? What will it profit? What will it profit me if I lose my savor? Salt makes things savory, flavorful. If I gain the whole world, if I become famous and rich and everything's going my way, but I lose my presence of God, if I lose my savor. Verse 37, or what will a man, what will Calvino give in exchange for his soul? Are you ready for 38? You better buckle your seatbelt. For whosoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. He's talking about his return here. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, the glory of his Father with the holy angels. He's talking about his return. It's almost like I hear him. First thing he says when he gets back is, how's your savor today? God forbid that we should fall on our knees before him and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I lost it. I left it at the exit at church. Ooh. Is this getting in you like it's in me? I have many regrets personally in my life of the many times that I had opportunities to stand up for the Lord, but I was ashamed. For whatever reason, I don't even know all the reasons. Why I would ever be embarrassed about anything to do with the Lord is beyond me, but I have found myself many times embarrassed. And that's if If there was a way to hate myself, that's the part I would hate. Any kind of shame, embarrassment, or backwardness about the Lord. I could take you back into my past and into my childhood and probably create some reasons why I've fought that. But we probably shouldn't go there. But it's time to be salty. And it's time to take the salt, the presence of God, with us everywhere we go. The people that you saw in the video had their salt with them the moment the sword struck. And they were instantly in the presence of God. Had they left their salt at the exit of the church, they would have been ashamed of Christ and His message, and they would have bowed their knee to the radical way of thinking, maybe save their life. So salt cost them their life. A lot of relative terms in a little word like life, huh? I'm reminded of a story I love to tell because I heard it as a teenager at a Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship International dinner banquet, Albuquerque, New Mexico, back about 1963 or 4. And there was a missionary had come out of Russia. You see, in my generation, there's a lot of war stories, missionary stories that come out of Russia, because radical Islam was not the booger man of the day. Back then, it was communism. And communism took about half of the world before it came down. It got really, really bad. I remember something I've heard Bill say a couple of times. He's told his daughter, if I get this right, told his daughter he was going to the military, going to be a part of the military, because he didn't want her to grow up speaking Russian. Is that right? You, unless you're of my generation and Bill's, you have no idea how serious a situation communism was. Serious. There's some people that know. At this point, radical Islam hasn't even come close yet to what communism was. But at this banquet, I'm back to the banquet in Albuquerque, okay? The man had been to Russia and he had ministered there in the underground churches. And he met there a soldier, X. No, I get this. I don't know if he's an X. He met a soldier, X or whatever, I don't know, who had witnessed an experience while they were mowing down Christians. Some of you have heard this story, a lot of you haven't. But the communist had gathered up a group of Christians and they lined them up on a big bluff where the, just, you know, like Grand Canyon type thing where, you know, you stand right here and you could fall 1,000 feet. You know, you get the picture. You've seen places like that. And they line up all these Christians and they're shooting them, you know, bang, 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 bang. They'd line up a bunch more, you know, and the firing squad would shoot them. People are falling off the cliff, you know. Bullet hits them in the middle. Down the cliff they go, you know. Dozens, hundreds. And all of a sudden, one of the soldiers in the firing line threw his weapon down and went running over and joined the next group that lined up on the cliff. His superior officers, get back here, you crazy blankety blank blank. What are you doing? Is this kind of a joke? We're not playing games here. Get back over here and pick up that gun. The guy said, no, I'm staying here with them. You're what? You stay there with them, you know what's going to happen. He said, you don't know what's happening. When the bullet hits them, they're going up. They're not going down. God had opened his spiritual eyes. Where was I before I interrupted myself? Don't be ashamed of Jesus or his word. Oh, what if I get caught in the conflict and just a simple little quiet white lie denial of Christ would save my life? Well, have a good time in hell. We must stand for Christ no matter what happens. That means when we leave here today, when we go to work, when we go to the store, when we go to school tomorrow, we stand for Christ. We don't leave our salt at the door. If I see a pile of salt at this exit door, I'm coming after you. Everybody say this. No matter what, with the help of God, I will stand for Christ. One famous martyr back about 400 years ago was being burned at the stake. You know, they used to burn people at the stake for printing Bibles. And he said, "I just have one regret." "Any famous last words?" "Yeah, I had a big regret." "Well, what is it?" "I just regret that I only have one life to give for Christ. I want to be salty." As we carry our salt, the presence of God, into the workplace, into our family, into the places where we go after this today, as we carry this presence of salt, you might say, "Well, I don't know if it's going to really affect them. I mean, I've said a few things about the Lord. I've tried to be a witness. I've tried to stand tall. I've tried to show people that I serve the Lord. And, you know, it's not doing any good. The place at work, you know, it still stinks. The people still, you know, treat me like dog poop. I mean, it's just not working." Have I got news for you? "Oh, I go to school and, you know, everybody's doing all this other stuff and they expect me to do this other stuff. And I don't really want to stand that, you know, like a sore thumb, stand out and be this Jesus freak or something. After all, it's school, you know. Don't you realize the peer pressure? Don't you realize what I'm going through? It's not working. This salt thing's really not working. I really cannot affect the school. Who am I to affect the school?" Have I got news for you? You ready for the news? Okay, I need a volunteer. Mike. Big Mike. So glad he volunteered. I want you to take a sip of that and tell me what it tastes like. Don't tell me about the rusty pipes of Douglas.
Tastes good.
Is it just water?
Yep.
Just water. Okay, just hang on there. It's not working. It's still just water. It's still just water. It's not working. Forget about being a witness at school. Forget about standing up for Christ at work. It doesn't work. No matter what I do, no matter what I say, I'm not changing anything. It's not working. Take a drink of that, cowboy. Is it different?
Yep.
What is it now?
Tastes like ocean water.
Has it been salted?
Yep.
Thank you, Mike. Does it look any different? Is it different? Next time you go to work or at school and you look at the situation and the peer pressure gets heavy and you say it's not working, well, it doesn't. Maybe it doesn't look any different. But you know what? Because you, as salt, the presence of God, are there, something that you can't see has made it different. Let's go to Psalms and rejoice with David about some things. Psalms 22:3. And I'm going to read three little scriptures out of these some of these Psalms, just to kind of tell us about his presence. And we're talking about leaving our salt, the savor, leaving the presence at the exit door. 22:3 of Psalms, the psalmist says, "But you," speaking of the Lord, "you, Lord, are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel." He wants us praising him constantly. You say, "Well, how do I stay salted? How do I stay in the presence?" You stay in praise. You don't have to have the musicians up here with their accompaniment of music. You don't have to have their voices or their instruments to stay in praise. You can stay in praise. I can stay in praise all day long with my attitude. I stole that from Becky's message here on the bulletin. Attitude is everything. If I'll keep my attitude in a praise mode, I'll be able to keep my savor. Chapter 23, verse 6. We all love the 23rd Psalm. The last verse says, "Surely goodness and mercy." One preacher said that he had three girlfriends following him around. Surely goodness and mercy. Well, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Now Barbara's jealous. She'll follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How can I dwell in the house of the Lord forever? Attitude. An attitude of praise. An attitude of acknowledging Him in our life. An attitude of acknowledging the salt that He puts in my life. The presence. It's an acknowledging the presence. Chapter 34, verse 1. You could stay all day in Psalms doing what I'm doing here. Oh, that looks like a song. You want me to sing it? Everybody say, yeah. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in thee, Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Verse 4. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Who said I couldn't sing? First line, first verse, I will bless the Lord at all times. Okay, along with a good attitude, let's add something called confession. If you would take the time to go back through the books of 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, and read all the accounts of David, you will find clearly that he had moments when he wasn't blessing the Lord at all times. Should have been, but he wasn't. And here, as he got over in the Spirit, you see, these Psalms were saying in the Spirit. They got in the Spirit when they wrote these things. And when you're in the Spirit, he speaks through you in it. It's what you want to hear. It's what builds you up. As he speaks through you by the Spirit, he speaks his word, and that gives you faith. And here I see Dave's confession. Good old Dave. I will bless the Lord until I take the exit where I leave my sack of salt. I will bless the Lord until I get to the enter sign at Walmart where the door opens for me automatically. I must be so powerful. It just opened. I will bless the Lord until I get second period class. I can handle first period, but second period, that teacher. I'll repent later, okay? Let's let this be our confession. I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. If we could do a rewind on the DVD and paraphrase it a little bit, that lady's response would have been, I'm here to bless the Lord. Somebody said, oh, not now, cost you your life. I'm here to bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. His praise will continually be in my mouth. That's the way you keep your salt. Attitude and confession. Well, we could add to that, couldn't we? You could make a 10-point sermon out of this, Mitch. All the things that help you keep your salt. David, amazing man. For sake of time, I'm not going to read everything that's in my notes here, but I'll refer to it. In 1 Samuel 17, we have the most beautiful account of David carrying some cheeses from dad's milk barn out to the brothers who were fighting with Saul against the Philistine army. And little David, I don't know, we don't know how little he was or how big he was, but he was a young man, still under daddy's instruction, but old enough to be carrying cheeses to the army. You know, you don't send an 8-year-old for that. But he was a young man. I'll make a wild guess of 16. Have any other ideas? Okay, we'll go with 16. And he gets there, and all of God's boys are trembling at the knees. And he said, what's going on? You guys, your knees are having a fellowship meeting. Is this a party? They were scared to death. About that time, what are you scared of? About that time, Goliath comes out. He had to be ugly. And, he comes out, and he starts cursing God. Now, I don't know about you, but I feel like I would have been on David's side. Somebody start cursing God. I would get my righteous indignation up. And like Dave, I would say, who is this uncircumcised? Right there, you can stop and preach, because being uncircumcised meant clearly that the giant had no relationship with God. He had no promise, no covenant, no pact. He had no ground to stand on. He was on his own. But David was circumcised. We can talk more about that later after church if you need it. David was circumcised and he had a covenant. It was written in his own blood that he had a covenant, a pact with God. And he said, who is that uncircumcised? Do you see the salt in this? He got his salt up. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he would dare to defy the armies of the living God whom I serve? Oh, he got his salt up. I got a feeling he reached into his shepherd's bag and pulled out a little bit of that rock salt that they chipped out of the mountain and put it in his mouth and said, I'm going to be as salty as I can. He took his salt to the battlefield. If your battlefield is at work, if your battlefield is at school, if your battlefield is with your spouse, take your salt so you can stand for God, stand for Jesus, stand for what's right. Take your salt. What did we compare salt with? The presence. Take your presence to the battlefield. Well, I think most of us know the rest of the story. Oh my. You see this little brown, is that where that brown patch is? Anybody, is that it? When I was a little boy, we used to tear those off. We'd punch a hole in each side of it. We'd run a shoelace. We'd tie a shoelace on one hole and a shoelace on the other hole, and then we'd have a pouch with two laces, pieces of leather, pieces of string or rope. We'd put a rock in there. In that pouch, this little thing right here. When I was a boy, I didn't have any of these on my pants because we used them for made slingshots. He put a smooth stone in there, and as you swing it, it swings out there, and you turn loose a one string only, and the rock comes out of the pouch and goes. And if you're good, it hits the mark. With practice, you get real good. He had plenty of practice. Well, a sling of the stone later and the giant's on the floor. Where are you now, fancy pants? Don't you wish you had never defied my God? If you had bowed your knee to Jesus, you wouldn't be laying there. But because you spit in his face, there you are. Doggone it, I did forgot my sword. What am I going to do to make sure you're finished? Oh, you have a sword, huh, big guy? See, little 16-year-old David, if he's like me, when I was 16, I weighed about 120 pounds. I was a skinny Lenny, I'm telling you. I know. He grabs hold of that sword. I'm sure he must have had both hands on it. Pulls it out of the sheath. Any last words, sucker? He runs his fingers through that dirty hair, picks up that bloody head. He says, hey, all you Philistines that have been defying God of Israel, here's your hero, bloody head. It's gory, isn't it? And then he turns to the Israeli army, not the Israeli, they were Israelites in that day, they're Israeli now, okay. Israelite army, he said, hey boys, your knees don't have to knock together anymore. Here's what you were afraid of. Well, as the account moves on to its finale, the good guys took down the bad guys. Because David kept his salt. He didn't leave it at the exit of the church. In chapter 30, a few days later, it would have been a few years later in chapter 30, David is out fighting the Lord's enemies with a little band of about 400 men. Bible said they were all misfits. Kind of like those weirdos down at Faith Ministries. Misfits. And they came home from the battle, and all their wives and their children and all their animals were gone. The tents and supplies had been plundered and there was nothing left. Just empty, quiet chaos. Everything exposed and ravished. The men were so upset. The word of God says they thought about stoning David because, you know, it was He's the reason they were gone when the bad guys came. And they got amongst themselves this thing of, you know, had we not listened to David, you know, so-and-so said we should stay here and guard the families. And had we not listened to David, we wouldn't be missing our wives and children today. Let's stone him. We don't need a leader like David. Let's stone him. He's too salty. But the word says, David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. When the chips are down and they're ready to stone you, encourage yourself in the Lord your God. Begin to say, I'll bless the Lord at all times, even when it hurts this bad. I'll bless the Lord at all times, even when it looks like there's no hope. I will bless the Lord at all times. And he said it, and he said it, and he prayed it, and he prayed it, and he declared it, and he confessed it till he got his salt up. He said, boys, it ain't over till I say it's over. Get them mules saddled. We're going to war. They went after that bunch. And they took care of business. And brought mama and all the babies home. Because he dared to be salty. And take the presence of salt everywhere he went. Oh, this is fun. Well, the clock is marching on. Let's jump to the New Testament. Paul and Silas, great men of God. They preached up a storm. They got a revival going in the town. And the local religious faction didn't like it. They had them arrested by the temple guard. They had them beaten and thrown into jail and put their hands and feet and heads in stocks. Now, if you read anything, if you paid attention in the third grade, if you paid attention in the fourth grade, you'll remember what stocks looked like, you know. Anybody here need help with this? You got a picture of being in stocks? That'd have to be an awfully uncomfortable way to pass the night. And what are you going to do when you need to pee? Pardon me, my mind just goes, I'm a realist. They were in dire straits. And they tell me the dungeons of those days had no bathroom. In fact, some of the dungeons were built purposely inside the city sewer systems. And so the cavity that they were in would have had the city sewer running through it. Welcome to paradise. We can't imagine, huh? Paul says, Silas, we can bemoan this. We can complain about it. We can say this faith message is not working. We can do something, deny Jesus, call in the guard, call in the jailer, call in the magistrate, and say, we give up, we'll not preach about Jesus anymore, just let us out of this stinky place. We could do that, or we could just get our salt up. Because I don't know about you, Silas, but the salt's still in there. The devil's tried to steal it with circumstance. But the salt's still in me. How about you? And Silas, yeah, I feel the salt. I feel the presence. I feel the presence of salt. What are we going to do, salty brother? Salty brother says, don't make fun of my perspiration at a time like this. They're awake, okay? I got them awake. They begin to sing the precious song of the Lord. They begin to let the presence of salt be made known in their praises. Then the more they sang, the less it hurt. And the louder they sang, the less it hurt. And pretty soon, all the hurt has flown away. And everything's going my way. Because I've got the presence of salt in my life. Bible said there was an earthquake. Everybody do that. Everybody go. I love it. Class participation. I love it. Over here. Come on. Give me some earthquake. Come on. Come on. And the stocks broke and the chains broke. And they jumped up and started doing a Holy Ghost dance. And the jailer comes in and says, oh my God, they're going to kill me. Because the prisoners are all going to escape. And I've been under this mandate that if I let any of them escape, I pay with my life. Oh, it's over. Give me my sword. I'm going to fall on it, kill myself. And he's just ready. The sword's to his throat. He's just ready to... And Paul said, hang on, brother, hang on. There's hope. There's salt in the house. And the jailer said, I felt something. What is it? It's the presence of salt in the jail. It's the presence of salt in the dungeon. It's the presence of salt in the stocks. It's the presence of salt in the wounds on my back. It's the presence of salt, praise God. And the presence of salt, the presence of God is here with us to save your soul, Mr. Jailer. Hey, you know what he said? He was one smart jailer. He asked the most important question on earth. He said, what must I do to be saved? And Paul says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you and your whole house is going to be saved, brother. Oh, God says, in the presence of salt, there's fullness of joy. The Bible says he took them home and dressed their wounds and Mama fixed a good meal for them. Oh, Mr. Jailer and all his babies got saved because two radical preachers took the presence of salt even to the dungeon. Please stand to your feet. The presence of salt will give you courage. Presence of salt will give you faith. Presence of salt will give you love and hope. Whatever it is you need and whatever battle you're facing in life, the presence of salt has the answer because it's the presence of God. Unless it doesn't work if you leave it at the exit. Must you bring that up again, preacher? Everybody close your eyes and say, my salt goes where I go. The presence of God in me goes where I go. And I'll not leave it at the exit. Take someone by the hand. Begin to pray for that person that they'll have courage. If you're standing alone, maybe you could go to someone. You know, Lord, we don't have the foggiest idea what it would be like to give our life for the gospel's sake. We might read about it, talk about it, think about it, and think we know something about it, but we know so very little about the actual thing. But Lord, whether we lay our life down at work and at school tomorrow, or whether we lay our life down in a spiritual sense or a metaphorical sense, or if it comes the day that we would lay our life down in the blood sense, let it be for you, Lord. I pray that we be strong and that we be firm and we be salty, because you said if the salt loses its savor, it's good for nothing. And Lord, I'll not have that said about me. I don't care how many times in the past I've been embarrassed or ashamed. I don't care how many times in the past I've fell or tripped up or fallen into sin. I don't care how many times I've messed up. Lord, I believe that your presence in me is making me a salty Christian. And Lord, I believe with all my heart that from this day forward, I'm going to be saltier than I've ever been before. I believe with all my heart that I'm going to be bolder than ever before, braver than ever before, saltier than ever before. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Lord, you know that we are but flesh. But Lord, not only do you know we're flesh, you also know that there's a spirit within us that's united with the spirit of Christ. You know and we know, Lord, that there's a spirit within us that's got all boldness to face whatever comes our way. There's a spirit of boldness within us by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we lean on that. We don't lean on our flesh. We don't lean on our own capacity or ability. Lord, we're leaning on you. We're leaning on the inner man that's united with Christ. Lord, let us be bold, Lord. Everywhere we go, every situation we meet face to face, let us be bold. Let us be bold. Let us be bold. And let our boldness not only be our salvation, But let our boldness also be the salvation of the jailer in his house. You know, Lord, up to that point, the jailer was the enemy of Paul and Silas. But when they showed their salt, when they let the presence shine, it turned that enemy into a man hungry for God. And Lord, that's what we hunger to see everywhere we go. We want to see people hungry for God because the presence of God has arrived in the form of a humble Christian. It's not, Lord, that we can be so super special or be super Cristiano. No, it's the presence of the salt, Lord. It's you. You're the one on the inside that makes a difference in everybody's life. Lord, we give all glory to you. Lord, I'm sure if the day that we visit David and the day that we hear him rehearse that beautiful account of taking down Goliath, Lord, I can hear him say, "Oh, to God be all the glory." When somebody pats him on the back and says, "Well done, Dave," he said, no, to God be the glory. I just let my salt out. I just let my salt build up and become strong for me. I just let the presence of God who lives in me take care of business. Oh, precious Lord, I love you so much. Lord, you have surrounded me with this beautiful people. And in the other places where I minister, Lord, here, there, and everywhere, I'm always surrounded by beautiful people. And Lord, I just pray that they be kept safe. I pray that they be kept safe in your loving arms. More than anything else, that their soul be kept safe, because what would a man give in exchange for his soul? Keep their soul safe, Lord. That part of them, that spirit person, that real alive person, the part of us that really counts, keep that alive in you, safe in you. And Lord, in the natural sense, Lord, even in the blood and flesh sense, keep us safe. Lord, for those that are giving their lives for the gospel's sake, we pray, let it not be in vain that they die, but let their death be a terrific testimony that'll bring men and women, boys and girls to the gospel, to the Christ that we know. Let not a drop of blood be spilt in vain, Lord. Lord, we need you in our life. We need your presence. We need that salt. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' precious name. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, everybody just keep your eyes closed, please. If you do not know the Lord Jesus personally, or maybe you knew him earlier in life, but you haven't been living for him, I want you to raise your hand so I can pray for you. There's one. Amen. Barbara, I'm going to ask you to come and join me. And Nina, would you join Barbara? And Mitch, come join me over on this side. If you raised your hand, or if you should have raised your hand, please come forward. We want to pray with you. If you raised your hand or should have raised your hand, just come forward. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, how we love you, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, how we love you, Jesus. If you've ever, at any time in your life, been ashamed of the Lord or His Word, and you still feel, maybe the Lord's forgiven you and you know that, but you haven't been able to release it, you still feel bad about it, I want you to come up here for prayer. Because you don't have to take that guilt home with you. You don't have to take that guilt home with you. If you've been ashamed of the Lord and you haven't got over it, we want to pray with you that guilt will, that's something you can leave at church. You can leave the guilt here. We'll bury it for you. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, how we love you, precious Jesus. Jesus, precious Jesus. Oh, how we love you, Lord. Oh, how we love you, Lord. Oh, how we love you, Lord. Well, I wish I had a bunch of salt tablets. Did you bring any salt tablets from the football field? No. Wish I had a bunch of salt tablets to send home with you. Put them in your pocket. Take them to work with you tomorrow. Just imagine that. Just imagine taking a little salt with you tomorrow. Everywhere you go. You got salt in your pocket? Imagine it. Can you imagine salt in your pocket? God bless you richly. We want to thank you for participating in this service and for putting up with this preacher. I love you to pieces. You really are the best kids in town. Give about 50, 60 people a big hug and a kiss. And for you who can, come back tonight at 6. We're going to have Spirit Fire worship. Remember, stay salty in Jesus' name.